Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice. We'd like to start the show off by saying we're having a little bit of technical issues, but we will work it out and the show will go on, and all the panelists are here trying to make sure that we have a good show and have discussion. And if you want to join in and talk to us about what you feel is going on or what you want us to talk about, just call in. The number that you can call in would be 646-668-8740. Now, I'm going to start to show off what everyone is talking about, and we want to get a man's opinion because I got several females' opinions, and I'll let you know about those. But I want to talk about the Will Smith, Chris Rock episode at the Oscars and what your gentlemen's feelings are, because I've talked to a lot of ladies who feel, yeah, he should have went up there and represented his wife and did that. And so several women that I talked to, most of them had that, although a couple of others were like, that was embarrassing. But so there's that side. So let me start off with Bruce. What are your thoughts? I know maybe you didn't see the show, but that's all the news has been carrying on lately. So what are your thoughts?
Well, actually, I happened to turn it on just before it happened and then turned it off afterwards. But, yes, I have a definite opinion. I wouldn't disagree with the statement of Will defending his wife or the other way around, I mean, in today's equal world. However, I would not agree at all with the way he did it. He's not an ordinary person. He's looked up to. I happen to like a lot of the movies he's done, and I was very disappointed in the way he went about it. You're in the public eye, so you're at a higher stature. People care about what you say, what you do, more than you or I or any of us on the panel. And as a result, there are so many other more tactful ways he could have actually done just as well, if not better, in defending his wife. You know, there was some thoughts about maybe Chris Rock didn't know that she had that, but irrespective of the disease she had, she has it, and I'm sure it's upsetting to her and to him, but I think the way he went around where he just walked up there and smacked him really hard is wrong and totally distasteful, and he's in a way lucky that Chris doesn't want to press charges. I'm not surprised that he doesn't. But it was just, in my opinion, the wrong way to illustrate his love and support for his wife.
Right. And I think many of the panelists don't know, but Michael started off in this career path. So, Michael, tell us, what are your thoughts?
Oh, thank you for calling on me, David. And, guys, put your seatbelt on because I'm going to take you on a ride with this one because this is my take on it. First of all, that was bigger than just the joke Chris Rock said, because, number one, the joke wasn't really directed at Jada. He started the joke off by saying, love you, Jada. G.I. Jane, can't wait to see the movie. So that's not just a direct insult at Jada. And, no, he didn't know she had that disease. And that disease, just for the record, it's not a life-threatening disease. It's not a very serious illness. It's kind of minor as far as the disease scale goes. Okay, so it's not like it's cancer. Let's just call it what it is. It's not like Jada has cancer. Okay, she has a minor little disease that is just common for people when they age. Okay, Will Smith laughed at the joke. If you all watch the show, when Chris initially told the joke, Will Smith thought it was funny. And then he looked over at Jada and saw she didn't think it was funny, and that's when he reacted. Okay, so this is deeper than just that joke and Chris Rock telling that joke. This has a lot to do with the fact, number one, if you didn't follow the story, Jada had an affair on Will recently with a 24-year-old young man. That was a big deal. So I think that kind of played into the reaction because people always considered Will Smith to be soft. Will Smith came up in the era of gangster rap music. When gangster rap music was the hot music on the radio, Will Smith was coming of age. So he was always considered to be soft in the black community. We always looked at Will Smith as, oh, yeah, he's the soft guy. So I think a lot of that played into what he did because he said, okay, I can't just let Chris Rock, which is his friend. He and Chris Rock are very close friends. So you slapped your friend. This isn't some stranger who insulted your wife mildly. This is your friend, a close friend of yours. So I think it really boils down to Will Smith was just trying to be something he wasn't, meaning I'm tired of everybody calling me soft and considering me soft. And I'm the richest, most successful man on the planet, and everyone thinks I'm soft. So here's my chance to show that I'm not soft. This is an easy target. It's not like it was Suge Knight up there telling that joke. He wouldn't have ran up and slapped Steve Harvey even for that matter. He slapped a 150-pound-year-old, almost 60-year-old man. Chris Rock is 58. He's almost 60. Okay, Will Smith trained for Ali. He's in great physical shape. He's 6'4" tall. So it was an easy target to him. So I say all that to say I lost so much respect for Will Smith. I think he tarnished his legacy with that. I really do. I think he really destroyed everything he worked for in that one little moment over his wife who was sleeping with a 24-year-old man. I dropped the mic.
All right, Darius, what are your thoughts?
Hey, man, Michael is right on. I mean, he hit it dead on the head of the nail. Will Smith was proving to the world and his wife, I'm not a punk. That was his I'm not a punk moment, and that's what he did. Now, in terms of the whole slapping the comedian and defending your wife thing, I like that, man. I love it. 'Cause I hate comedians that pick on people in the audience. It's one thing to pick on somebody about something, but I hate when you go to a comedy club and comedians pick on people about their personal appearances or characteristics and use that as a joke. To me, that means you're not prepared or you're a weak comedian. You're not very creative. If you can laugh at somebody because they're fat or they have a big head or they're skinny or a big nose. I hate those kind of comedians, and I love the fact that somebody got up and slapped them. Just not that moment. It should not have been Will Smith. And if it was Will Smith, it should not have been for Jada, because Jada does not have that same level of respect and love for him. She would not go to bat for him like that, obviously, because she doesn't respect him enough to, even if they do have an open relationship, which I've heard that's what it is, you don't even have enough respect to keep it quiet. You don't have enough decency to protect your marriage in the public eye or your man in the public eye. So, yeah, I'm with Michael. Will did that purely out of humiliation. But had it been another woman who respected him and Will Smith went up and smacked the crap out of him, I would have definitely been on board with it.
All right. Bruce, what are your thoughts?
Well, I listened carefully to what both our panelists just said, and I didn't know all the background, so thank you for that, Michael. My question would be, if it's an open marriage, did it go both ways, or is she the only one that cheated on him as far as we know?
I'll weigh in. I'll answer that one for you, Bruce. I live here in Hollywood, so the information I'm giving you is information I've gathered over 20 years of being in Hollywood and being in that circle and around people who know those two. And the story I've always gotten, that they both have sexuality issues, meaning Jada's attracted to women and Will's attracted to men. So they've to answer the question on was it open on both sides, yeah, from what I understand, they would bring both to the party, meaning they would bring men to join into their intimacy, and they would bring women to join into their intimacy. Now, the issue with the young man that she just recently, that was outside of that. She went out on her own, basically, and slept with a 24-year-old man who was the friend of her son. So this is your son's friend, and you're sleeping with him. So that underscores what Darius was saying. Like, she had no respect for Will Smith at all. She doesn't love Will Smith at all. She has zero respect for him, and absolutely, Darius, she would have never slapped anybody over Will Smith. She's just with him for the ride.
All right, John, what are your thoughts?
Yes, thank you for calling on me, David. You guys are right on target. You're nailing it. Having the opportunity to be in the business and manage the largest broadcast company in Philadelphia, the home of Will Smith, he has issues, major issues, and these issues stemmed a long time ago in his childhood. His daddy used to beat up his mother, and he was the oldest sibling, and he never reacted, and he wrote a book, and in his book he talked about how he wished he would have reacted when his daddy used to beat up his mother. And then also, he was considered soft, as it was said before, and he had issues. Now, you guys dropped the mic on this one because I'm going to get real deep on you. We are spirits, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Will Smith let his emotions take over, in which you have to control your emotions. You can have emotions and be at the height of your career, and your emotions will talk to you. And if you act on the negative part of what you're hearing, you'll slap somebody. And what happened was, you're right, Will was laughing. He looked at Jada, and Jada said, you better do something. And his emotions took over. And he got up, and he started to walk up on the stage and act like Richard. And that's what bothers me. He brought Richard Williams into the play. He had been in character for 2 years playing Richard Williams. And he didn't know how to turn his emotions off. He still thought he was acting. And after the script was over, after the movie was over, remorse set in. He's in recovery right now for psychotherapy. He needs therapy. And if you don't control your emotions, that's what will happen to you. At the height of your biggest moment, your emotions will take over. And if you act on them without the spiritual part coming into play, which will shut it down, you'll make stupid moves and slap somebody and mess up your entire career that you worked for 30 years, and you could explode and lose it in 30 seconds. I dropped the mic.
Oh, yeah, John.
John, one other aspect I'd appreciate if you'd answer is, If their marriage is kind of not really there, it's more for show and no go in real life, couldn't there have been the possibility of Will saying, there you go, Jada, wiggle and squirm about that, because I don't care if you're uncomfortable. In other words, just reacting just the opposite way and not going up there and smacking Chris, but kind of enjoying in a bad way that she was being put on the spot.
Well, Bruce, it was the look. It was the look that got him. He looked at her after laughing, and he reacted because he knew that look. In other words, she gave him a woman look. Don't you take that. Don't you take that. He talking about me. You better get him. And his emotions took over.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that look. You could see the whites of her eyes real clear.
And you know what? That relationship, I guarantee you, will not last.
But it sounds like it's really already over.
All right. Hey, guys, can I chime in on this?
Yes.
It's Jeremiah. Yes. Can I chime in on this really quick?
Sure. Didn't know you were there.
How many
of
you guys have heard that? How many of you guys have heard that song, Mr. Wrong, by Mary J.
I have. Doesn't sound like very many.
So it goes, bad boys ain't no good. Good boys ain't no fun. Lord knows that I should run off with the right one. That's been going on for a while with their relationship. You know, they had agreements based on her needs. They had agreements that she could do certain things, but it came with a lot of shame, a lot of notoriety, a lot of information being put out on shows because, you know, she looked like the bad guy when it came out. She was messing with different superstars and different guys throughout their relationship. So I agree with you guys. Will was put in the spot that he should have been put in. I've seen it won different Grammys and awards. The comedians do pick on the guests, the audience, the nominees. So that's nothing new. It was a little bit of a touching spot, but everybody didn't know that. If you're in the moment, you're understanding that this happens every year. You know, the comedians come up here and talk smack about people, smack about nominees or the audience. So, you know, I just think she just put this guy in an awkward position. He felt like he had to react because he had to be the Mr. Wrong that he's never been by getting up and doing something about it. And that's what happened. And you can see her gestures and her happiness after he concluded the slap or punch or whatever you want to call it on this gentleman. So it was very despicable watching, and you know I think the relationship has been over. It's more like friends, and hey, we're together for the kids. But as soon as those kids all reach a certain age, they might go their separate ways because, you know, there are two people that have a lot of emotional issues and baggage, and you know they're great at what they do, but you know how long is it going to continue?
All right.
Hey, you know something? You know something, David? Hey, David.
Yeah.
I want to ask a question, and I want to see if you guys agree with me. I think that Chris Rock, on the other hand, handled this so professional. I mean, to take a hit like that was remarkable because my human part would have kicked in, and that would have been a fight at the awards. But he refrained himself and held his composure. On top of that, he sold out Boston, and that very same day, he was going to be appearing at the Hard Rock here in South Florida, and the tickets were doubled. The nosebleed seats were $100, and up front and close and personal were $1,000. It sold out that very same day, and his career will skyrocket. Will skyrocket. And then they wanted him to sue Will Smith for $200 million, and he refrained from doing it. Now, I know a lot of people would have probably did something like that, but here's a class act, and this young man's career is going to go to another level.
Hey, let me say one more thing about that, real quick, David. Hey, Don, he's going to, the $200 million, you're right, I heard that number too. Will Smith is going to write Chris Rock a check just on principle, and I don't know if the check will be $200 million, but he's probably going to give him about $50 million, I would imagine, just on principle. So Chris Rock is financially definitely going to make off with this. And just real quick in regards to Jada and dating Will and he's soft, before she dated Will Smith, she dated Tupac Shakur, who was the king of thugs. He was a thug rapper. And before that, she dated Eazy-E, who was a gangster rapper from Compton. So Jada does like thugs. She doesn't like soft guys. So that was Will's one chance to prove, hey, I can kind of be hard too.
And it's emotion. It's emotion proof. And then that's when his emotion kicked in. You're right, Michael. That's when his emotion kicked in.
All right. Spencer, what are your thoughts?
I think it was well-deserved. you know, I also think he had no choice. And the internet always brings up the old interviews. And it's like 3 or 4 years ago. He's at a table and he's talking, and he actually talked about this, like how he feels the need to protect his family and his wife because of what happened in his childhood. You know what I'm saying? How he wasn't able to do anything. So when certain situations come up, he felt like he has to take the initiative to dish out whatever comes or whatever circumstance that is. And I think with that look, because it seemed like everything was all fun and games, but also I think there's some old history between them two also, between him and Chris Rock. Something happened, not quite sure, I think in 2016 or something like that, something happened and they kind of got into it. I think he also said, I think she was boycotting the Oscars, and Chris Rock, it was like, how can you boycott something you was never invited to? I know that was also, and it was just been over the years, he always makes little knacks and stuff like that. So I think all that accumulated to that point, that especially that look on her face, that it's like, all right, now it's time to do what I got to do. And also, you see, after he came off, you know, like Samuel, some of these other guys was like high-fiving him and like, you know, dapping him up. And I think that's all that plays to what goes behind the scene of Hollywood. And since we really don't know what happens at parties, functions, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, this stuff might have been going on for a while, that and his mouth is like that, and that all they know how his mouth is, that's why they was just like, you did what you had to do, because we know how this person is behind the cameras. Also, I think that's another factor that we're not looking at, that what actually happens behind the scenes. And I think all that was just like, you know what, I'm going to go up here and I'm just going to do what I got to do, and I'll just accept the consequences with what comes with that, you know, and building up to him possibly winning the best actor award for the movie King Richard too. So, you know, he could have did something else, like maybe, you know, grabbed him and, like, you know, said something in his ear so that nobody could hear, but it just went that way, unfortunately, and it'll be living our minds forever, you know. So that's really my take on it.
I don't know if everybody was watching the show, but the show started with the first three ladies that came out to be MCs for the show. They were throwing jokes out about people in the audience, and everyone who came on board were making fun of people. So it wasn't anything that was not going on. The flow is it, and I'm getting comments from women asking me, so the men are saying that they wouldn't protect their female companions in the same situation. So I got women who are thinking that this was something that should have happened because he was protecting his woman. Outside of everything else. I got a couple of females sending me emails saying the same thing. So I think that we might want to look at that approach and answer that question. So I'm going to ask Darius, do you think men should protect their females for whatever the female wants for protection, things like this?
Well, all things considered, absolutely. You know, you can say whatever you want about me. And, you know, even, you know, to Will's credit, Will even said, look, I understand that I'm in Hollywood. I understand that I'm famous. And with fame comes these types of attacks. And we're taught that we're supposed to take it. We're taught that we're supposed to tolerate it, and that's just part of the gig. So he understood that, and he admitted that. But he said, but there's a time when a line can be crossed. And that's when you have to stand up. And so everybody else were making attacks, but they weren't making personal attacks. You know, they were making personal attacks maybe about their life, about their movie, about a character they played, but not like your personal appearances. You know, they weren't making those type of attacks. And to me, I feel absolutely you can say whatever you want to say about me, but when you talk about my wife and my kids, now we got an issue, and that's where the fun stops. And I'm not saying it results in violence all the time, but you have to let people know, hey, that's the line that can't be crossed. I went out with another couple one night, and the guy, they used the term really loosely, the term bitch. So he happened to jokingly, you know, we had a few drinks, and he and my wife got along pretty good. And so he happened to call my wife that jokingly. Well, I stopped the party immediately, you know, scratched the record player and everything, you know, like, hey, man, you're cool, but don't call my wife. Even joke, he was like, I'm just joking. Nah, don't joke that way. So, yeah, I think it's all things considered. Now, if a woman goes out there and acts a fool and she does things to misrepresent herself, then I feel like I'm not responsible for defending her honor when she's showing no honor herself. And that's part of the reason I said what I said about Will and Jada. Like, he did the right thing, but it just wasn't for the right person or the right time.
All right, Bruce, what are your thoughts? Is this the way men should act for their ladies?
Very quick, far-reaching answer, the answer would be no. But as Darius pointed out, and Don and Michael and all of you, there are situations where that's probably going to happen. However, one of the life lessons my father taught me, and he was, in my opinion, he was an extremely wise man. He said, many times the person that appears to be the weakest is the strongest. And I think, Don, to get back to answering the question you asked about us, I think Chris ends up the stronger man in this situation, by far, the way he handled it. I understand emotions, as some pointed out, that Will Smith, it got the better of him, but that still doesn't make it right. And being in the public eye, no matter who he pays, what amount, what he says to take it back, there's going to be, unfortunately, a lot of people out there that won't give him that luxury. It's there, it's done, it's, how many times have we seen it now, over and over and over again? It's going to live on forever, and unfortunately, I think it could really hurt his career, whether long-term or not, I don't know, because he's a very talented actor, but you just can't do that. So I think the way, I would tend to lean towards, there could have been another way. He could have made an issue, he could have made a statement in regards to action, but it did not have to be slapping the one on stage across the face. That was the wrong thing to do, and he's going to – he already regrets it, and he's going to live with the consequences, as he said he's prepared to do. So it's sad to see that it had to happen, end up that way, because he's going to lose more on this than almost anybody, and Chris Rock will not.
All right, Jeremiah, do you think men should go to this extreme to protect their woman?
I would like to first comment on the word protection, right? So there's women in the audience asking, are you able to protect your wife? To me, this is not protection in the sense, because I think protection of being more physical, more altercationist, you know, against, you know, something, maybe attacking or something like that. So maybe we can say verbal protection, because in my mind, who he is and who he is as an actor in this world, I just think he could have got up and said something on the mic and just, you know, tell him, like, listen, your comments are despairing. I don't know if you realize my wife's, whatever he wants to say to, you know, because before he actually got up, he was laughing himself. So it leads me to believe that it was somewhat okay, and so his wife didn't take it that way. So I didn't like the comments personally myself, but it's not saying that it warrants a slap. That, to me, that's not Will Smith. If that was Will Smith, I could live with that somewhat protection clause, but that guy that he turned into, that's not Will Smith. And I think all the negative things that has been going on with their marriage pushed him to react like that. You know, she wants a bad boy. What was your question? I'm sorry, David.
Do you think that this was what a man should do if someone insults his lady?
On that stage, remember, we
in
also,
general,
we
in
all,
general,
we all,
I think that our audience, the women in our audience are listening, asking in general, not that stage.
I think he's high. I would say I would want to be, I'm compelled to say he'll be held to a higher standard. I wouldn't do it. I would catch him backstage if anything. Everybody's going to hear about it. I really take that approach. Catch him backstage and talk to him like a man. And if you want to, you know, throw his hands up, we can do that. But you only get so much credit for going at another soft person. If that would have been Suge Knight up there on that stage, would he would have done that? That's my question. And I don't think so. So by being Mr. Also Soft himself, Chris Rock, he's like, yeah, I'll go do this. I can do this, you know? If it was another man, I don't think that would have happened.
So you're saying, yes, they should, because you're saying you could call him backstage. Well, that's just, it's not that just on the stage. It's just that you're saying, yes, he should have done this to show his
lady that
he should
have done a little bit more professional. He could have still have done this, but it should have been a little bit more professional, because who am I to, you know, quarterback and say, don't do this, don't do that. But I just wish he would have done a little bit more professional. And, you know, you can still see him later. Yeah.
Okay, Don, what are your thoughts on men? Is this the position men should take when they are standing up for the rights of their women?
No. No. Here's an example that a man doesn't have to stand up. Like I said before, this thing is bigger than Will Smith going up and slapping him. You're looking at a deranged man, emotions taking over. Darius, you're absolutely right. If someone called my wife a bitch, I'm going to react and take over, and I'm going to address that situation the same way you addressed it and protect my wife and my woman. Yes, I am. However, Chris Rock said, Jada, I can't wait till you play G.I. Joe. In other words, you would be a good star in playing that role. But why didn't she manage it up and apply to play that role? And then again, if she was so sensitive about the minor disease that Michael so eloquently talked about, why didn't she wear a damn wig? She could have worn a wig to the event. Nobody would have even brought that up. So here's the situation.
You know, one of the things that's funny about this whole situation, you'll hear her when she's being interviewed, that her daughter asked her to cut her hair. Her daughter had cut her hair bald, and she asked her mother to imitate to do it too. So I don't see her as a disease that caused her to be bald. I think it was just her style.
And it was his emotions overreacting. Like, look, he overreacted, and then he went to his seat, David, and used profound language from his damn seat, which you could hear on the mic X amount of feet away from the stage. Two times. Come on, man.
Okay. Michael, you're getting married soon. What do you think? This is the way a man should be there to defend his lady in this manner?
And not in that manner, but, yeah, a man should always be there to defend his woman, absolutely, but you got to be smart about doing it. And had I been in Will Smith's position and he insulted my wife, and I would have truly been upset, which Will Smith wasn't truly upset at the joke, but had I truly been upset and offended, like you said, if he calls my wife a bitch from the stage, I would handle it differently. I would deal with it when the show was over behind the scenes. I would move in silence and handle that. I'm not going to get up and make a spectacle because, A, number one, Will Smith could have gotten arrested. So I could have got arrested if I would have went up there and slapped him like that. Then I got a whole other charge to fight. So I would have just handled it differently, and I think Will Smith should have handled it differently. But to answer the question, should a man defend his wife? Absolutely. A man should always defend his wife. And if there's an imminent threat, meaning had Will Smith, had Chris Rock walked his way and was going to attack Jada, then, yeah, of course, then you defend her physically by any means necessary. But by a verbal attack, no, you handle that differently.
And Michael, well, can I add something? Tell me if you agree. We should not leave the implication, even to the women, David, that asked the question, that defending your spouse, whether it's man to woman or woman to man or whatever your relationship is with your partner, it doesn't always have to mean violence. Defense isn't always violence, as you pointed out, Michael, and several others. And I just want to make sure people don't get the impression that the only way you defend is to act in violence. That's not the case at all.
All right. So with Spencer, 2 weeks ago you were married. So tell me your thoughts on defending your wife and your impression how men should handle it.
I mean, I think it all is based on the situation. In that particular situation, I wouldn't have done it like that. You know what I'm saying? I would have definitely pulled him to the side and be like, hey, man, you know, such and such, it is what it is. That wasn't appropriate. Or when I went up there and said my speech, you know, I would have used that as a way to admonish him and also show awareness to my wife's condition, you know what I'm saying, and that so forth. But I also think it depends on the situation. Like, you know, it's a time to be chivalrous and a time not to be. Sometimes you gotta use your mind. I've seen people be chivalrous and, you know, got jumped and got shot, all types of stuff just from not backing down, feeling like they gotta, you know, defend, which is all good, you know. But you gotta pick and choose your battles. You know, he chose that battle. It was perfect for him. He kind of won that in a sense. But you going up against two or three dudes, you know, sometimes it's best just to be like, you know what? Yeah, I got that. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. Let's get out of here. You know, you can still have your life. You can still have your pride. You know what I'm saying? You might already have words with these guys, but you don't want it to escalate till something happens. So, it's no issue then defending your wife. It's just sometimes you got to pick and choose when to. Or always, but pick and choose when to de-escalate the situation is what I'm saying.
All right. So it looks like Michael took a break, and I was about to ask him some questions, but he, I think, had to make a quick run. So in the meantime, I would like to bring that one to a halt and move on to Public Law number 117-107, which was passed on 3/29/2022, the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act that Congress passed. It took them hundreds of years to get here, but we finally got an anti-lynching bill passed on the 29th. And I have a question. Bruce, what is lynching?
Lynching, in the definition that probably a number of us are thinking about it right now, it's taking someone and hanging them with a rope, cords, or something till they're dead, in a very simplistic definition, which is a heinous, unbelievably cruel.
Okay, Bruce dropped. His phone dropped on us. All right, so Darius, what do you think lynching is?
I think it's any taking the law into your own hands by a mob or vigilantes. You know, you, normally more than one person, it's like a group of people that decide that someone has committed an offense. And it's mostly done by hanging, is the way that I understand it. But if a mob comes to your house and takes you out and shoots you, I believe that's a lynching as well. That's the way I understand it. Now, I'm not saying I'm right. That's my interpretation of it.
All right. What I want to discuss with the panel is the Congress passed the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, and most people think, like everyone else does, it has to do with hanging and that kind of a thing with the mob or something. But specifically, the bill imposes criminal penalties, a fine, a prison term of up to 30 years or both, on an individual who conspires to commit a hate crime offense that results in death of serious or serious bodily injury, or that includes kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill. So the Lynching Act covers a little more than just the lynching, but it was finally passed on the 29th of March, and I think it's been years that we've been waiting to get a bill like this in place. So, Michael, what are your thoughts on the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act?
Well, thanks for calling on me on that one, David. Well, first of all, yeah, they've been trying to pass it since 1901 is the first time it was presented to Congress. And it got passed in 2022, so 121 years to be exact, it took them to pass this anti-lynching law. Now, it's called the Emmett Till Law in regards to Emmett Till, who was killed in 1954 by a bunch of white guys that thought he whistled at a white woman when he didn't. And they beat him so bad that his mother had an open funeral so that everyone could see the brutality. So that's just who Emmett Till is, just FYI for those who don't know. But in regards to the bill getting passed and signed, I think it's horribly a slap in the face to black people, because it just goes to show it takes 122 years for you to get any sort of legislation that's going to help you and your people out passed in the United States Congress. Okay, if it took them 122 years to pass a law that's saying, hey, it's not cool to lynch black people, how long do you think they really care about passing a law saying it's okay for black people to vote? Of course not. So I think the fact that it took 122 years to pass a law saying, hey, it's not cool to hang black people, just underscores the systemic racism and the horrific hurdles that black people in America have to face and deal with every day.
But keep in mind, the Anti-Lynching Act does not specifically define special races. It is general for everyone. So attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, they will use this law for that. All right.
Right, but here's the thing, David. Joe Biden and the administration, they're making it seem as though, hey, this bill is directed. This is something I did for the black people. This is something for you guys. They're trying to paint it as though it's a bill. It's a favor to us, basically.
All right. Don, what are your thoughts on the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act?
David, I think you read the purpose of the law that was passed, and it's very clear. I don't have to rehash what has already been passed. I, like most of what's been said, am so glad that it's done. After all these years, it took us this long to say, it's illegal, immoral to even think about doing something like that to anybody. I'm glad it's passed, David.
Cool. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on the Emmett Till anti-lynching bill? Jeremiah. All right. Well, let's move around the table. Michael, we were talking about the Will Smith event, but I don't think the panelists know that your background is kind of in that vein. I mean, you're in that market. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your history, you know, a little bit about you and movies and things like that. Just update us, like, for a minute, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, yeah, thanks for the opportunity, David. Yeah, I've been in the entertainment business since I was 19, so since the 1990s, the late 90s. I started doing stand-up comedy. I went on tour with a comedian by the name of Eddie Griffin. He took me out on the road, and I was his opening act. And then he got a TV show called Malcolm and Eddie with Malcolm Jamal Warner, who was the son of Bill Cosby on The Cosby Show. And he got me a job on that TV show. I was doing audience warm-up, which is you tell jokes to the audience when they're taping the show live. So that was my first big break somewhat into Hollywood. And then I got into acting, and I did a movie called Doing Hard Time with Boris Kodjo, which was a huge success, and it's always on BET. It runs quite frequently. And I produced a few other movies. I don't want to go down the list, but you can just look it up. But I produced a few other movies, and one of my films was in the American Black Film Festival, and it won Picture of the Year, the grand prize that year, which was a great honor for me. So I've been just in the industry for many years, as I said earlier, and I've produced quite a few movies, all of which of them I am very proud of. And now I'm working on a documentary called Invisible Hurdles, which tells the story of the hurdles that African-Americans face in this country. And I got the idea from this show, actually, because speaking to you, Bruce, I'm going to give you credit for this. Speaking to you, Bruce, and Darius, guys like you, I didn't realize that a lot of the hurdles that me and black men like me face in this country, I didn't realize that guys like you don't see those hurdles. I thought everyone could see the hurdles. So once I got to talking to Bruce and Darius and people who don't see those hurdles, I came with the idea I'm going to do a documentary and I'm going to explain the hurdles that black men in America face that we're always complaining about since Martin Luther King that people like Bruce and a lot of people in this country don't see. So I hope that is a success, and I hope you enjoy that documentary when it comes out, Bruce, and know that it was inspired by you.
Okay. Bruce, any comments, Bruce?
I knew you wouldn't let that sit. Well, I Michael would be surprised to know I know a lot more than he realizes on those hurdles. I don't have the skin color, Michael, so I can't put myself in your shoes or age, so I get that. But from my perspective and what I've grown up with and the people I've worked with and the people I've interacted with and gone to school with my entire life, you'd be surprised how much I really do realize and know. But I would never be presumptuous enough to be able to say that I lived the life of people that have been strongly repressed or hurt.
All right. Bruce dropped again. Okay, let's move around the table. Don, what do you want to bring to the panel this week and talk about?
Well, David, I'm just so glad that we're getting down to some real issues here in the state of Florida. Don't Say Gay, as you know, was passed by Governor DeSantis, and now it's got to be approved. And we're dealing with a lot of issues that really are frivolous, unimportant, and we got some serious issues here in the state of Florida. And man, I tell you, it's just crazy, man. I mean, crazy. I long for the day when we start dealing with real issues that affect human beings when it talks about life and death, the welfare and well-being, and the love of mankind. Man, you know, sometimes, David, I wish I would have ran for office, but I didn't have the nerve, or it's too late for me to even think about doing it now, but my God, we've just drifted off on the wayside where I don't understand that we're dealing with issues that really are unimportant.
All right. Okay. What about you, Michael? What did you want to bring to the table this week?
Oh, cool. Thanks for calling on me again, David. Yeah. I want to talk about what's going on with Donald Trump and Jared Kushner in this January 6th investigation. Jared Kushner was just recently, Jared Kushner, who was Donald Trump's senior advisor, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner is married to Donald Trump's daughter, Ivanka. Jared Kushner was recently called before Congress to testify in front of the committee in regards to January the 6th. And the reason that's so important is because Jared Kushner is probably one of the highest-ranking Trump sidekicks to have been questioned by this committee. So I think they're leaning on him pretty hard. And a federal judge just recently announced that he thinks Donald Trump committed a criminal act. So that's pretty strong wording to come from a federal judge to say, hey, I think the former president committed a criminal act. So I just want to go, as if I could, ask the panel, what do you guys think? Does it look like Trump's heading to jail or no?
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts?
Oh, man, it's such a farce. It's really a circus, man. They don't really want to know the truth about what happened January 6th. This is a go-get Donald Trump campaign. Nobody wants to hear what really happened. It's evident that Donald Trump did not incite a riot. They already had the impeachment. They already had the trials. And the people who really, if they really, really wanted to know what was going on, they would bring people from both sides. I don't care what some D.C. liberal federal judge said, Donald Trump is not going to jail. But I'll tell you who should be looking over his shoulder. Joe Biden might be going to jail because we have far more evidence with Hunter's laptop coming out and the liberal media turning against Joe. We have far more evidence of wrongdoing and someone being close to the penitentiary, way closer than Donald Trump. But the answer, Michael, Donald Trump is not going to jail. It's a sham trial. We don't care what that judge said, because if they really wanted to know the truth, they would bring in people from both sides. They would bring in the people who saw Donald Trump ask Nancy Pelosi if she wanted the National Guard to be there. She turned it down. You had the Capitol chief of police who requested backup, more people, more officers. Nancy Pelosi turned it down. You heard Donald Trump specifically say out loud, everybody heard him say it, do not be violent. Protest peacefully. Everybody heard it. So they want to continue to go on with the sham trial. Let them go on, you know, because what they're doing is they're pissing the American people off, because gas prices are going through the roof. Russia's taking over Ukraine. America's becoming more and more dependent on the world. Prices are going up. Inflation is rising. And these idiots are having a circus trial about the Donald Trump incite a riot on January 6th. I love it. I hope the Democrats continue to go down that path, because come November, those guys are going to get murdered in the polls if they keep on with this foolishness.
Hey, real quick, Darius, you said you don't care what a judge says. Am I correct? You said that, right? So, if the judge has the power to send the marshals to come and arrest you. So if the judge sends the marshals to come get you, you're going to go, I don't care what the judge says.
No, I'm not saying me personally. I'm saying in this trial, a judge gave an opinion that they could go forward with discovery. Nobody cares. That doesn't mean anything just because the judge is allowing them to go forward because he thinks that there may be a crime. You've had a few judges that have said that. They're all liberal judges, and nobody cares. It does not going to mean anything at all. It's not going to mean anything in the grand scheme of things, Michael. And we've had judges that's been saying that all along. Donald Trump is still not in jail. They're political hacks. They're not true judges. They're not true jurists.
Hey, Darius, you said that you wish that we would get down to the real facts of what really happened on the 6th. What really happened, in your opinion?
So what happened was it was they wanted that. It was invited. It was orchestrated. And there's proof and there's evidence of people that were planted inside there that led people into the Capitol. But what the biggest thing is, Donald Trump, if he was going to incite a riot, why in the hell would he say, get the National Guard to protect the Capitol, get the National Guard here doing the rally? Why would Nancy Pelosi deny the request from the state Capitol police officer to say, we need backup, we need more help? They wanted this to happen so they could do what they're doing now, Don. Nobody is planning to incite a riot and then says, hey, by the way, let's have the National Guard there, it makes no sense. So what really happened was there were a couple people that were planted into the crowd that led the way to force them into that Capitol, which, by the way, nothing happened. But at the worst-case scenario, you can get them for trespassing and for illegal entry. Nobody killed anybody. Nobody shot anybody. Nobody destroyed any or burned anything. So come on, guys. This is a waste of time. And I'm telling you, you're going to mark my words. David, write this down. Log this in. Stuff like this is going to lead to the Democrats' demise. They're going to get wiped out in November, I promise you.
There it is. You were watching a different channel.
You are watching way too much Fox. You took the words out of my mouth on that one, Brother Williams. Like, you are watching too much Sean Hannity. The same way you were wrong when you didn't think Russia was going to invade Ukraine because you watched Sean Hannity and got the advice, you're wrong again, Darius.
Darius, I can't believe that you don't know that they tried to get them to stop the process of the Democratic way of doing things in America. That's what happened.
All right. Hey, guys, I got cut off on two of my most important answers. So I got two questions for you. One for you, Michael, and one for you, Don. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Michael, what is the name of the movie that you're working on?
Invisible Hurdles.
All right. I find it ironic and rather curious that you said I inspired you, and so did Darius, when all you talk about is the evil, wicked, older white man. Last time I checked, Darius isn't white. He's conservative and makes a whole lot of sense in what he says. So you're lumping him in with your inspiration, tongue-in-cheek. I find that extremely ironic and hypocritical. And Don, I have a question for you. Maybe we answer it next week. For the life of me, the God-fearing person that you are, and I believe you are, the life of me, why are we letting hordes now, 3-4 times people crossing our southern border, bringing fentanyl and every other crime you can think of to undermine and kill off our youth? I haven't heard you say a word about that or defend that or give anybody an intelligent reason why that idiocy at the southern border should be taking place.
Michael, I can answer yours and I can answer mine at the same time. Michael said that you and Darius inspired your way of thinking that motivated him. Not you, your way of thinking that motivated him. And answering for myself, Bruce, drugs have always been a problem in the United States, especially in the black community. They were implanted by people that don't look like us. So we didn't deal with it then, and now they're coming across the border. You're excited. Well, they used to come across the tracks.
You leave the border wide open, Don. That's your excuse? That's pathetic. I'm sorry. We need to cut that off and control our own border for a huge reason that's poisoning and killing our youth. I'm sorry. That answer doesn't hold any water.
Hey, Bruce, real quick, Darius, in regards to Darius being African-American, yes, he is, but Darius grew up on a farm where I don't think they got any other news channel but Fox News, so he grew up as a black man watching Fox News, thinking the way the white man on Fox News thinks. So that's what I mean when I said speaking to guys like you and Darius.
Mike,
yes, Darius is African-American,
Mike,
he is, but he doesn't think like the majority of the African-Americans
Michael,
in America.
Michael, you need to watch.
But there was no Fox News when I was growing up. My opinions come solely from my upbringing. Had nothing to do with Fox News. It came from the experiences that I had. But I also want to say to Don, I'm surprised as Don, as a God-fearing man, can say that indoctrinating our children and sexualizing them, talking about sex at the ages of kindergarten to fourth, is unimportant. Our kids are our most important resources, man. How can you be a godly man and say that that doesn't matter?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to bring the show to a close with those remarks. We'll have to pick up on them next week because there's only 30 seconds left in the show. But I want to thank all of those that were listening to the show today and telling you this exciting stuff will happen again next week at 6 p.m. And remember that you can call in and talk to us and tell us what your thoughts are, too. So, guys, have a great week. And, yes, for everybody listening, we're all good friends here. So let's.
Yes, we are.
Have a great
just
week,
trying to
guys.
Help each other out.
Goodbye, each other
out. God bless.
The
U
is back, guys.
Don't
the U is back.